And we are back. Couch Company Podcast. I'm John. With me as always, Tyler.
Hey, I'm here.
He's trying to mess me up.
No.
Yeah, you are. Yeah, see?
The audience doesn't know.
Yeah, you're just
playing with faders.
It's just for me. Yeah, he's pumping the volume. Anyways.
You freezing with this cold open?
Huh?
Cold open? This is what a cold open is, right?
Yeah, what defines a cold open? It's just like an independent sketch.
Yeah, before going into the real thing.
Before
this isn't a cold open because we did the whole intro. We should have been like, ha, could you imagine? And then the music comes in.
I always just think of like Brooklyn Nine-Nine. They're like the kings of cold opens.
Better than The Office? Yes.
Consistently?
I think yes.
But I think like peak Office cold opens, probably better.
Office
like,
has a couple.
The fire drill one, still one of the funniest scenes I've ever seen in my life.
Is the fire drill...
It's like overplayed now, but dude, at the time, it was so funny.
But is it a cold open when it's like, well, I guess it's anything before the credits maybe is a cold open.
Yeah, so that's what I was asking. Is it independent, like not related to the plot? Because that's
but the
a good
fire
point.
Drill is related to
it's
the plot.
It's the whole point of the plot.
Yeah.
Kind of. That's when Dwight gets in trouble. He goes to New York. But isn't it ultimately not really about that? It's just like the first...
I could be wrong. That's not when Ryan started the fire.
No.
Well then,
that's separate.
Okay. Well then, yeah.
That's season one, I think.
Cold open. I don't know.
I don't either. Brooklyn Nine-Nine's cold opens are so funny though.
They are. Yeah, they're more consistent. Just I chuckle every time.
Yeah, it's a good show. I mean, top five probably.
So we're watching Suits, which is a good segue.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've ever heard of them. But I texted you, and I was like, dude.
I don't remember giving you that recommendation, but apparently I did.
Multiple times.
It was one of my... So, like, when I was a youngin', back when, like, there were, like, you know, TV stations.
Yeah.
I would watch, like, USA, and that would be, like, White Collar and Suits.
Mm-hmm.
And there were, like, some other shows on there that were really good that I liked. And, yeah, I loved Suits. That was one of my favorite shows, But the series falls off hard, though.
Oh, does it?
Oh, big time.
No.
Yeah.
When?
Season 4, 5, something.
Oh, I don't even know there's so many seasons.
Yeah, it's like 6 or 7 seasons, and it like...
It never
sorry,
recovers?
Sorry, spoil it. I haven't watched the whole thing.
Wow, that's...
It's just like those first like 4 seasons, man. That was like...
It's always 4, man. It's always
it's Mike
like
and Harvey.
Yeah.
As long as it's Mike and Harvey, we're good.
Okay, well, don't spoil
anything.
That's
what I'll say.
Yeah.
But that's what I'm saying. It's like, that's so good.
But I texted you, and I was like, hey, you should watch Suits. I'm trying to get everyone to watch it. It's such a great show. And then you're like...
I was confused at first. Like, yeah, I was like, what? And then because I forgot I recommended it.
Well,
you.
We sat down, and we were like, all right, what are we going to watch? Because we're out of House.
Yeah.
We did all of House, which also does fall off. Every show falls off, more
House
or less.
House falls off?
Yeah,
House was weird.
To do some stuff, and then it just gets too long. Back to back House for like multiple episodes, multiple seasons in a row is too much.
You ever like House was one of those shows where like again back in like the TV days
mm-hmm.
when there would be like just an episode on TV, you couldn't pick which episode.
Yeah,
it was one of those shows that consumed just like random episodes, which I think that show is how you have to watch that one.
In the beginning, yeah, absolutely.
Where it's just like you it's on TV and you're watching it and there's no like overarching story. It's just its own thing.
Yeah.
Because I think that's perfect for that show.
Well, House is a good example where I always liked the idea of House because it was like, okay, like they're self-contained episodes. He's just this like gruff, jerky doctor.
Yeah.
Sarcastic.
Yeah.
Hugh Laurie is just awesome.
Great.
And he does this thing, figures out some crazy disease, the end. And
right.
That was it. And I always thought that I stopped liking House whenever they started doing these like overarching plots and tried to get a little bit kind of like into like Grey's Anatomy or like these other like the diseases and the diagnoses like became like a background to the character's stories.
Right.
And I always thought I didn't like that. But then going back and rewatching stuff, now it's like, man, this is like, I don't want to say boring. Maybe it's boring just because I've seen them so many times that it's just like the first couple seasons, I'm just like, man, I wish there was more substance. And I don't know if that's just how TV evolved.
I think that's how you're consuming it. I really do think that if you're just watching it on TV, and you got to think, back in the day, that's how it was probably designed,
mm-hmm.
right? It was much more like, if I think it's something like Friends, right? Friends, self-contained episode. Of course, there's the overarching plots that, and as it goes on, I think it becomes more prevalent. But like initially, it's very self-contained, like you said. I would come home from school and I'd like watch Friends.
Yeah.
And like King of Queens or something was on TBS, dude. And it was like, it was just a funny episode and like it was good. And that's how I consumed those shows for a while until later down the line when I watched all of Friends and I was like, connected the dots and like, oh,
yeah,
this is the whole Ross Rachel thing. Whatever. I don't know. So it's like,
some callbacks, you know what I mean? And stuff. Yeah.
But I guess it's a little different because if you're watching it live, so like when Friends was coming out, that's different because you're like waiting for the next episodes, right?
Yeah, like you need to see how certain things go.
So I think like it makes sense because like initially you're like self-contained episodes and stories, and then once you get the audience and they're like waiting on those next episodes, I think you can see a natural transition into more character-driven,
soap opera,
yeah. longer arcs.
Yeah,
you know, build that anticipation type of thing. I think that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, House is great though. I like House.
It was awesome. It's just like it was too much too fast. And so anyway, we were looking at stuff and we were like, all right, well, what are we going to watch? And it was like, well, Chelsea fell asleep to Wheel of Time, doesn't want to rewatch episodes and different things like that. I think Wheel of Time has a very strong opening. And I was like hooked on it.
Right.
But she wasn't really feeling it. They're in season two. Yeah.
Newish. Okay.
I'm doing Ahsoka by myself, so she wasn't into that. Good Omens, she didn't really care too much about. So it's like there are a lot of these shows that are like these heavy, episodic, like you have to watch, like Game of Thrones-esque type things where you just gotta start and watch the entire thing.
Yeah.
And Suits was just randomly on one of like the For You on Netflix, and I was just like, we're watching this, and I just clicked on it, and it was just like, cool, and it was exactly what I wanted. And like, that's the thing, is you can binge 3-4 episodes of that like throughout the day, and it's like nothing, it's fine, it's just, it's fun and witty and just whatever. And I the thing that I'm not connecting with as much is I really like White Collar.
Yeah.
And Suits is good. I like all the characters. Some of this stuff actually makes you like kind of like laugh out loud or whatever.
Yeah.
But I don't feel that the characters are as likable as White Collar.
No, White Collar's better.
You think?
It's a better show.
Okay.
I liked Suits more just because like I just connected with it more personally, but like objectively, White Collar is probably like a tighter show, better written.
White Collar gets a little soap opery. They have like their overarching things, and that gets kind of old after a while.
But so does Suits.
Well, we've only watched maybe
I mean, like
five,
any,
six episodes.
Any USA show back in the day, like that's their MO.
Psych. Or wait, was Psych USA?
Psych? I might have been.
Psych was good.
Mr. Robot was on USA, and that was actually a really good show, too.
Yeah, I think that's on Plex. I'll need to check that out.
I don't think I finished it, but I remember the first season was good or something. That was a weird show. That's a very different type of show, but
that's with Rami Malek,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. He's like a hacker or something.
Yeah.
That was a good show. I remember this one show, too, that was about, like, the whole show was about, like, sex. It was really weird. I was digging it as a teenager, though. It was like...
Is it one dude?
It's like called Satisfactory or something. Man, I can't remember. But the premise was like this dude was like a big wig executive guy or something, really good job. And then he just has a mental breakdown and quits his job. And this girl reaches out to him and he becomes like an escort.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but he's married and shit. It was weird, bro. It was so weird. It was so weird.
It's like you're Mari and
but I was a teenager. I was Jerry like, dude, Springer. This is awesome. My mom did not like that show.
I've been going, which I'm sure John's happy with, where I've been like just scrolling through Plex just to see like what's on there and different things like that.
But, yeah.
Like finished Ahsoka. What a I wish you watched.
I think I'm out on Star Wars.
I really want to debate it. Not debate it, but like talk through it. Like I was talking through it with Calvin.
Yeah.
And just like we were going back and forth on some stuff. And it was just like, I want to vent, but at the same time, I enjoyed it. And I think it's one of the better ones.
Yeah.
But also like, I wanted to throw my remote through the TV a couple times on certain things.
Really?
On like what they did on certain stuff.
Because you're a book guy?
No, it has nothing to do with that. I thought they handled it well, but like Thrawn was never paid off. It's like it's literally just a setup to whatever.
Did he disagree with you or?
No, I think we agreed on a lot of pretty much everything. Yeah.
Yeah.
I just want to like vent and get it on record. Not
dude,
just
get
like
it on
Snapchat,
record, dude.
You
know?
No, there's nothing I can really say because it would just be me bitching about Ahsoka that you've never seen. And it's just like, I think it's just my overall impression of it. If we're going to like rate the show,
yeah,
is there's like three or four really good episodes.
Okay.
Out of eight. Right. So let's say like half of it's really good and half of it is like filler or kind of boring or kind of like drawn out and stuff like that. I think it needs to be longer. I think they should have done a bunch of stuff extra. I think the casting's really well done. I found out that the one guy, Baylan, who's like he's not a Sith, but he's also not a Jedi. He's kind of like this gray Jedi, like he killed a lot of people type of thing, but like he was just like, I want power and I think the Sith and Jedi are stupid. But he has a lightsaber
like
and
Revan,
has the Force
right?
and everything.
Kind
of. They're alluding to certain things like that. Like they're bringing in like the three gods of the Force and all kinds
don't
of
know
weird
that.
Stuff. Well, it was on
Revan's my favorite, one of my favorite characters though, cuz he was like a Jedi and a Sith, I think, at one point. And then he's like, I don't like either of them.
There was a lot of like when I saw them, I immediately thought of like a Darth Bane type of thing who has like a female apprentice and everything.
Yeah.
And I thought that was going to be something, but yeah, I don't know. I think the guy that plays him died in real life before the show even started, which I did not know going into it. So that's at the sad. Very end of the finale, like you don't see him in the entire finale.
Yeah.
And you just see him standing on this, like, you know, the Lord of the Rings where they're like these two giant statues like pointing and stuff, like the two kings, and they're like
sure.
rowing between them or whatever, like, yeah. like carved out of rock.
Yeah.
So he's standing on one of that looks very much like
sure.
that. He's just standing there. And I'm like, man, what a powerful dude. Where he doesn't say a word, he doesn't do anything. He's literally just standing there with his cape blowing in the wind. And I remember looking at him just like, man, I cannot wait to see what they do with him. And then I found out he died. And I'm just like, I was very upset. Like yeah. right after that,
man, that stinks.
Yeah, because like everyone loves his character, and like he died before.
What's his character's name?
Baylan.
Baylan.
Yeah,
and he's canon.
I mean, yeah.
Or is he a new character?
New character.
Oh, he's a new character. Okay, yeah. Interesting. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it seems like just based on what I hear from the other TV shows that's like a trend where it's like there's a couple really memorable episodes. Couple really solid episodes. Like Kenobi seemed like that, right?
Kenobi, you can get down in a 2-hour movie. Clearly, because someone did it.
Yeah.
I got to double check Disney Plus. I don't know if that's on there yet. But like a fan did it. They recut it.
Yeah.
Made a movie.
And it was good.
Added some extra scenes. Disney calls them up, like Jon Favreau. It was like, hey, we want to put this on Disney Plus. Not like cease and desist. It's.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's not what I expected.
You did. Well, that's what it, so he
get paid for it?
He made a TikTok. I would assume so. He made a TikTok.
That's not usually like them. Usually they say, fuck you.
Well, you can't do that with Star Wars. Like, they're treading on such thin ice with.
Yeah, you can.
With that prop.
They can do that
with
Star Wars.
You can. But what I'm saying is, like, if somebody goes in that loves Star Wars so much, recuts it with all the love and care and everything, Jon Favreau and Dave Filoni cannot come down and strike down Star Wars fans because they're known as like the biggest fans that love Star Wars that will do anything, whatever. And they apparently did right by the guy according to his TikTok. Who knows? I haven't
that's
checked
awesome.
In on it in a while, but
no, that's big. Like Nintendo would have put him in jail.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like without hesitation.
Yeah.
Scumbags.
They would have tried
100%. Dude, they're the worst. Yeah, I don't know. That's kind of the vibe I get from the TV shows. Like, there's some high points, there's low points, like a couple of solid episodes. That just seems to be what you're saying about all of them.
And it's one of those things, like, I really want to start watching other people's reviews. Like, I don't really watch reviews of TV shows because I just find them, like, boring because usually the review is longer than the actual episode. It's just like,
yeah, there's a lot to cover.
Yeah. But, like, I need to start watching because it's like, is my attention span so bad where it's just like, it seems like there were too many shots of just, I think I mentioned this before, of just them like looking out into the distance for like an extended period of time. And it's like, dude, you could have cut that in half and saved yourself some seconds.
Right.
But it's just like Ahsoka just looking out and tilting her head and pondering and holding a thing and looking at it. Like,
I feel like similar
yeah.
vibes.
Also, like, I don't understand, because there will be times when it's like, okay, Jedi, just swing your lightsaber around. We'll rough in all the blaster bolts. So they're just kind of like going through the motions and stuff like that. And this is all in the finale, which I think is overall, I think it's a bad finale. It was a good episode, bad finale. But it was like, there were, you know, certain times when like they're all like swinging their lightsabers like ridiculously slowly. Like, I was just like, how are you blocking any? Like, this is a laser bolt flying at you.
And
you're just like,
Dark Souls.
Yeah. But
maybe they had the broadsword.
But then the moment there's like a choreographed fight scene.
Yeah, and they're just,
it looks awesome.
Episode 3.
Like, it looks sick. And yeah. I was just like, man, like, good for you.
Yeah.
And then it just goes right back to like,
you can tell what's prepared, what's not.
It's, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
It's so weird.
Dude, the choreography, when it comes to Star Wars, man, it's so big.
Yeah.
It's so big, and you can tell. And that's like one of the biggest problems with the sequels is like just slot. I remember like there's this one YouTube channel where it's like stunt actors and stuff, where they like react to different movies, and it's super awesome. I love videos like that where it's like experts reacting to things, because you can just get obviously like an insider perspective, and they can point out things that,
yeah, probably Corridor Crew is who you're looking at, right?
Probably. Yeah. I forget what the name is, but it was just like these two guys, and they were just roasting Episode 8, dude. They were just like the throne scene with Snoke and the red
guard.
Which people
point to is like, oh, wasn't that cool? And it's like, no.
Yeah, people were like, oh, that was awesome. And it's like, dude, people were falling down in the background without getting touched. And
yeah.
They're pointing out all these things, and it's just hilarious. Like, as stuntmen, they just watch it, and they're like, that was trash. And then they just pull it apart, and it's like, I think it's difficult, though. I mean, like, you're talking about, when it comes to, like, sword fighting, I think it's just really easy to pick apart that kind of, you know what I mean? I just think you're like, there's not a lot of room for error.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very easy to see when things start breaking down. So I have a lot of respect for them doing it, because I think it's a lot harder than people give credit for.
Right? And
so,
like, how do you do a multi-fight thing? Because in all, like, it's one of those things, like, until you, like, I don't know how 10 dudes can't, and like, I don't even care if you only have like a vibroblade or whatever, like, raise one person, like,
yeah,
if they all just charged her at once, one of them is gonna impale her.
Like, it's I don't know if it's necessarily that, because like in any action movie you're gonna have to suspend your disbelief, right? Is that the phrase? Because like it's just look, if it was realistic it wouldn't be cool. Right? Like, any fight scene ever in any movie isn't 100% realistic, because like normal fights just are like not that dramatic, not that cool. I mean, they're dramatic, but
even the Darth Maul fight. The Darth Maul fight with Qui-Gon and Obi-Wan.
Yeah.
It's like, if you actually watch it.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, they're waiting for
it. No, 100%.
Oh, it's my turn. Instead of both of us swiping high, I'll swipe low, because your double-bladed lightsaber only can cover one high and one low.
Exactly.
So we'll always.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Or they both swipe high, he ducks, they kill each other.
Something.
Right?
Yeah.
But no, it's like, no, that's 100% right. And like, can it be silly at times? Like in episode 3, when they're just like missing each other and they're just you remember that?
I still love that scene.
That's my favorite lightsaber fight in the whole thing.
Well, no, I'm talking that particular,
when
they're
flipping
missing
it around,
because they're so,
well, it's just so funny to me.
Yeah, but
they're just showing off at that point. They're like,
yeah, but they're also like trying to, like, it's like this rock, paper, scissors.
Yeah,
they're too in tune with each other type of thing. Like, I liked what that stood for. It was fun.
No, dude, that is my favorite fight, I think, in the whole series.
I should
series.
Show you the finale of Ahsoka, where it's like, it's not long. It's very, very short. But like the choreographed fight scene, because it's literally like sideways, like the camera just pans with them. And
yeah,
and
no
just
cuts.
Like fighting and stuff. And
yeah.
Like, that had to have taken a lot of like, that's some pretty good, like, it's fast.
You were,
man,
telling me the cinematography in this was really well done. And
so,
that's,
yes, okay, up until the finale. Well, I should say the finale, because I think episode 5 is really when people were like starting to notice, like, man, these are really well framed. Like, take, just freeze frame it, and like every one of those shots could be just a wallpaper or a print or whatever.
Sure.
And that works really well for 5, 6, or I guess 5, 6, 7. I don't know, 5, 6, 7.
Episode
whatever.
5, 6, 7.
Yeah, yeah, okay. Yeah. And then this eighth one, there are some of it where it's like they're going for a pretty shot over what makes sense in the scene type of thing. So it's one of those, like, this is light spoilers of, you know, depending on where you are in the season, but it's like two characters meet each other finally, right?
Yeah, right.
And instead of like running and embracing or shooting the shot where they're close enough to just hug or do whatever,
right?
It's this awkward, like, well, we set the shot up so like you have the ship in the middle and you have them and them. It's really cool, like, silhouette. But then, like, there's no interaction. He just, like, just it's like, there. I guess I'll just walk over, and then it just cuts because it's so because they're so far away. And it's just like,
I don't understand why you couldn't do a wide shot and then a close up.
You could. It's right? Just like they're the movement. It's just like they're so far away because the initial, like, the establishing shot of how everything happens.
Yeah.
Okay. If you haven't seen the season finale,
well, I don't look. Forward, I'm not a cinematographer, so
well, neither am I. But I it's just know. Like they have a very specific thing where you always have like these like dramatic, like very centered, symmetrical shots, and it just didn't, for whatever reason, it didn't work a lot in the finale. And like they reused some shots where it was like really cool the first time and like, oh, that was pretty sick the second time, but like by the third time and then the fourth time in the finale, it's like
four same shots.
Like, I see the shot, I get it, or whatever. I should say it's only, they only used it three times, but still, okay. It's like giant. Say, anytime times. a giant Star Destroyer is like planetary level, that thing is
cool,
that's sick.
Yeah.
But when you see it three times in the same frame and everything, and it's just like, like it starts to get like, okay, there's just like a giant spire going into the Star Destroyer. I'm like, huh, that looks like a dick going into, you know, there's just like, now you start looking at weird things. Yeah, no, I know. I'm just saying, it was really cool the first time. It was kind of cool the second time. And the third time you're looking at like, oh, it's funny. You know, like, I don't know. I'm being too harsh on it, but it was good. Rosario Dawson, who does Ahsoka, I keep going back and forth if I like her or not cast in that role. But
right.
For someone who hasn't seen it, that's my two cents. The last thing I will say, I hate colored contacts. They should stop doing colored contacts. They should just stop doing it.
I don't know what that is.
So, like, you know how, like, people put contacts in, it makes their eyes.
Oh, colored blue. Contacts.
Colored contacts. Like, they put the...
I thought you said colored context.
No, contacts. So, like...
Like where it's like subtiles in color or something.
Yeah,
I was like,
well, it's like, oh, this Twi'lek has green eyes in the show, and the actress has, like, I'm making this up, brown eyes.
Yeah,
throw some green contacts in there, but it always makes your pupil, because it's like it's green.
Yeah,
and it just gives you a tiny little hole to look through.
Yeah,
because everything's green.
Right,
so it always makes your pupils look like it's like
dilated.
Yeah, but they're in like dark spaces, or and it always looks weird and bad, and
I'd have to look at what you're looking at.
They do it twice.
I don't know exactly.
It just, if the contact isn't on your eye, and this is just me and my stupid brain, but if it's not on your eye correctly, like centered,
yeah,
because it's just like a little peephole where your pupil goes through, sometimes your eyes look like you're looking in two different directions because the pupil, like the black little dot on your eye,
doesn't line up.
Yeah, it doesn't look like it's going straight.
Sure.
So there are some scenes that it's working, some scenes where it looks like you have like this weird lazy eye going.
Googly
into the
eyes.
Yeah. And they have two characters that do that, and it just annoys me because if you just give them their eyes, man, and it feels less. And I know they're aliens, but it feels less alien and it feels more connected and stuff. But it looks like you're cosplaying, is really what it looks like. And I like it for a multi-million, billion-dollar company, trillion-dollar, billion-dollar company, it's just like you would think you would have the art, like the budget to just go in and color correct that. Or just say, you know what, screw it, she has brown eyes. She was the best actress for the role.
Yeah,
she doesn't have green eyes.
That's,
you know,
what they did for Harry Potter.
Like, that's all you need. Is
he's supposed to have green eyes, I think.
Yeah, like,
but then they were like,
it should trump it. And they, to be fair though, they do Thrawn really, really well. And I don't know if
he has
that's
red
context.
Eyes, right?
Well, it's red. Like, he doesn't have any white. So it's like his white, the whites of his eyes are like right. dark red, and he's, then his irises, Chiss.
Chiss.
And his irises are like a brighter red.
Right.
And that looks really good.
Dude, so you could be a Chiss for Star Wars.
I
know,
I was.
And you were for the, dude, you picked the best story too.
I did.
Yep. That game, I've said this a thousand times, that game should have just been single player though.
Yeah.
So great. How cool would it be though if they had like 8 different stories, but it was just a single player game, so they could just flesh it out more and it, like, just,
that'd be great.
It just was better.
It'd be
better
awesome. Game. It'd be great if they all intersected too, where you could like, oh, that's a really cool interaction, and then you would want to like replay it just to see how you got to that point or whatever.
Well, I've always wanted to do like the DLC stuff because everyone beat their individual stories, and I think they react to you based on like your story. So if you have 4 unique, if you have one of each of the classes, you're like all accounted for. Does that make sense?
Right. Yeah.
Because I remember I played a little bit of like the one of them, and I was like, I forget what it's called. I was like the Emperor's right hand or something as the warrior or whatever. And I went through this whole thing where I like, you know, got that title. So it was my whole arc. And then, like, the one dude is, like, shitting his pants. He's, like, addressed me. It's super cool. So that's what I like, you know. Anyways, sorry. Rabbit hole.
No, I mean, that's...
I love that, dude. It comes down to, switching to video game talk, it comes down to recognizing your choices. And pretty much, like, that's a big one for me.
Choices matter.
Choices matter. Yeah. Choices don't even have to, like, really matter. But, like, one line of dialogue... You know, confirming that, yes, you did, in fact, do this, and I'm scared of you, or you're really cool because you did this, or fuck you because you killed my buddy.
Yeah.
It's like, that just goes a long way.
It, not to hop on Starfield, but Starfield did it in a, I would argue, rough way, where it's like, I just want to pick this choice because it seems crazy. So they'll be like, I'm making this up. Well, hey, traveler. Let me sell you something, you know?
Yeah.
And like options would be like, yeah, show me your wares, or been here long, or shut up, I'm going to rob you and kill you or whatever. And if you're, I'm like, I just want to see what this is.
Yeah.
It's not my character. And it's like, I want to rob you and kill you. you kidder. Here, I'll show you what I have. And it's like they...
Oh, divergence.
You know, that's what I mean. Like they give you a lot of different options, but like, yeah, you might get like some throwaway line of like, well, that's just silly response, and then like pick something else.
There are a couple that are just so funny. Like, there's this one moment where this guard, I was in an area I wasn't supposed to be or something. This guard comes up and he's like, "Hey," or no, it was I was like undercover or something, I think. Mm-hmm. Anyways, he's like, "Hey, I heard to be on the lookout, and you match the description or something." And I'm like, no, you match the description. He's like, no, you. And we go back and forth like that for like 10 minutes. Like, swear to God, it was like 30 responses.
I saw that, yeah.
And it's like, I don't even know what we're talking about anymore. So like, I love things like that where they get super silly and stupid.
Yeah.
But there's not enough of that. And then what else? I was going to say the persuasion, because I went persuasion.
Yeah.
That was like my first thing I maxed. Like, sucks. It was the worst in that game. Because you just have things that don't make sense.
Did you ever fight the final dude? Or did you always just persuade him to
always
walk away?
Always persuade him.
Yeah, me too. Because I just... It's not because it was like...
It was awesome. I was like, yeah.
Yeah, I just... I didn't...
Every time.
I didn't want to fight. Like, I was like,
I don't want a boss fight now. Dude, I'll always talk my way through a boss. That's what I loved about Baldur's Gate. There's a ton of bosses. I probably shouldn't spoil this for you, but like, there are bosses you can just talk your way through. If you're good enough.
And I have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yep.
So it's like, I don't think that's a bad thing at all that you can talk your way through.
Oh, no. It's great. I'm just saying.
I just hate how it's like, because like every other Bethesda game was like, here's the persuade option. That's like a cool line or something.
Yeah.
Like a Paragon or Renegade option in Mass Effect, but you can only select it if you have the enough points.
Yep.
But they did it differently where it's like you can try and then you get all of these like canned, you know, sayings that don't even apply to it half the time.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you'll convince someone like something crazy. Like, I don't know. There was like this one thing where I was like talking down these bank robbers or something, and I'm just saying these lines that don't even make sense. Like, well, why don't you just go home and have a nice warm meal? He's like, yeah, you know what? That's a pretty good point.
Yeah.
It's like, it's so stupid.
Yep.
I don't know.
And they're, and it's like the same. Oh, you make a really good point. And it's like just the same.
It's the same
line,
yeah.
But yeah, yeah. I don't know. How's so? I was reading some stuff about Cyberpunk. Do you know how much money they put in to the 2.0 and the expansion?
$5 million.
Higher.
$10 million.
Higher.
$50 million.
Higher.
$100 million.
Higher.
Bill.
Not billion. Felix. $125 million.
That's a lot.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's more than I'm gonna make.
It's between, I think, so it was around $40 million to like fix the game.
Yikes.
And then it was, yeah, the rest of it was like marketing and then doing the expansion and stuff. I was just reading that today. I
thought that's crazy. Wild. Dude, it is. So I've been playing Cyberpunk. Good segue.
That was a segue, yeah.
So I was looking up like what is the most optimal way to play. And what I mean by that is like to experience the DLC, should I start a new game? Can I just load up my character? What I read online is people were suggesting, or I think they might have suggested, start a new game, get familiar with the 2.0 update, and then just play a new game and then go to the DLC, which is like
weird. The developers of the game are like, hey, why don't you just replay our game? That would be cooler. Right?
Which is like, okay, I get it. But like, I am glad I did restart the game because there are a lot of new things. They've cleaned up a lot of aspects of the game. And granted, I really like Cyberpunk. Like, I gave it a pretty good score.
Mm-hmm.
Although I was like on the fence about it because like, you know, I was debating. Because like, that's the thing I was thinking about. I'm going into a million different thoughts here, but it's like if a game is runs poorly on launch, but you don't experience it, do you give them a lower rating because you know it's a known problem, but you waited long enough where you didn't experience it yourself? Like, how do you? And that was what I was struggling with, that kind of with Jedi Survivor too, because by the time I picked it up and played it, it mostly ran pretty well.
Well, both of them I played. Launch day
launch and sucked.
Hated it.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's, so obviously that's you're not going to score high, but like for me, it was
me
like
leveling you out a little bit.
Yeah. I, well, yeah, that's why you have two on the couch, but
yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Anyways. So the 2.0 updates, like great. They fixed a lot of things. I think the game looks fantastic, although it did look great before, but you can tell a noticeable difference. At least I can. So like before, I don't think I was using ray tracing at all.
Okay.
Or if I was, no, I don't think I was.
I definitely wasn't because you couldn't.
Yeah, you couldn't.
It wasn't optimized.
You needed like a 3090, and like even then, it's like maybe. Yeah. So I don't think I was running ray tracing. Now I am on medium, and I'm comfortably above 60 frames. I'm like in the 70-ish range, and it's pretty smooth. Like there are some areas where like it'll go down to 50, like depending on what you're doing, but largely it's running pretty nice. It's a gorgeous game, especially coming off of Starfield, dude. It's like, dude, this is what a city looks like. Like you go from neon in Starfield, which is like the Night City equivalent, which neon looks cool. I like neon. I like how it's like in the middle of the ocean and stuff, and it's cool aesthetic. But then you go to Cyberpunk, you're like, this is a city.
Yep.
Because that's the whole game though. So it's like what we were talking about is you prioritize, you know, just dial it in a little bit, and you can just pack so much more. So,
but I don't know that Cyberpunk has the same environment detail as Starfield. So it's
like
it's
objects.
Weird. Yeah,
but like, well, that's what I was saying, dude. Yeah. I was thinking the same thing. Like a coffee cup in fucking Starfield.
Yeah,
it's the best looking coffee cup in the world, and it doesn't look bad in Cyberpunk. But coming out of Starfield,
I know,
like, dude,
it's passable.
If you could just marry the two, marry the two. I swear to God, they spent half of their development cycle on the fucking inanimate objects in Starfield. They look, might be the best just random objects like in a game.
All with physics built in and everything.
Yeah.
Like
it's awesome, but it's so unnecessary.
The attention to detail on certain things within Starfield and then the same thing with Cyberpunk, it's just really weird. It's just a weird like division of what they thought, like, and it's very artistic, right?
Yeah.
So it's like, what do you think matters versus what? And
I think
pound for pound, like, as cool as certain things look in Starfield, I think Cyberpunk's
a better game, right, for sure. And I think Starfield, not to keep harping on Starfield, but I do think it's like, I would say probably the most anticipated launch this year. There are a couple other things that are up there, but
yeah, if you take Zelda out of the
Well, Zelda was up there. I think you could make an argument for Starfield. I mean, we've been talking about this since 2018.
I would agree with you and that Starfield's new. Yeah,
it is new, but it's also a new Bethesda universe. Like that's they have two,
right?
And this is the third one, right? So this is like this was a big deal. Zelda was a big deal, obviously. I would put Hogwarts in the conversation too, just because like we've never seen a really good Harry Potter game.
Yeah.
Although I will say the PS1 Harry Potter games kind of slept on. They're pretty good.
All right.
They're not bad.
PS1 or PS2?
PS1. So the Sorcerer's Stone and the Chamber of Secrets were actually pretty good. I think the Prisoner of Azkaban wasn't bad either, although that was PS2, I believe. And then it falls off Goblet of Fire onwards. They become like true movie games, and it's just terrible.
Yeah.
Because like in the first ones, they had things in there that weren't in the movies. Like, they were more off the books. It was kind of cool.
Oh, that's neat.
Yeah. So, I remember playing those games. I mean, they're not great games, but they're like, I had fun with them as a kid. I digress. Starfield, to me, I'm a firm believer in, I think they got away from, like, what makes their games, like, really fun, I think. And also, I think they're trapped in the past a little bit. I mean, we talked about it. It seems like a dated game, right? Like, it just doesn't seem like they innovated as much as they could have. But I am a firm believer that this game in, like, 5 years will be top tier. Like, Skyrim level.
And the more I think about it, the more I disagree.
I think it's going to get there.
I think they're going to put it on ice. They're going to put everything they have into Elder Scrolls.
Oh, yeah.
And I think they're not going to look back.
That's an interesting perspective. But you don't think the modding community can save the game?
I don't think the game needs like saving. I think you're gonna have I think you're gonna have a bunch of modders say like, oh, we're gonna redo this whole thing.
Yeah.
Just like they're like, we're gonna put Oblivion and Morrowind in Skyrim whatever.
That's crazy.
They're still doing it.
Yeah.
It's been what, a decade?
Well, dude, have you seen the Skyrim mods where they have ChatGPT built in?
Yeah, and that's awesome.
And you can have like a companion. Your companion will talk to you
and like berate you and
that's
stuff.
That's crazy. It's awesome. You can adjust their
personality. That's sick.
Crazy.
I just don't think that.
But that's so awesome.
Like, sure, if you want to say like the modding community, to some extent, I would say like that's going to get it further.
They're gonna.
I just don't think like, that.
What's the biggest problem in the game? One of the biggest problems is you have all these planets with nothing to do on them.
Right.
And that's when the modders are gonna come in. They're gonna create all these crazy creatures. They're gonna create so many things to do on these planets. You know what I mean? Like handcraft, all these things. It's just limitless possibility. I just think they built this huge. And I'm not saying this is the correct thing to do, but I just think they built the biggest sandbox ever. And modders are just like, when those tools come out next year, they're just going to have a field day. And in 5 years, 10 years, dude, this game's going to be crazy good.
I mean, look, I hope you're right. What I think will happen is they're going to try to monetize it in some way, like they tried back in Skyrim and Fallout and everything else. So they're going to have
like re-release it?
No, monetize it as in like you have to pay for mods.
Oh, well.
And
they couldn't. I mean, they can't stop free mods, though, right?
No, but that's the thing is like, I mean, they tried putting it. It's like, okay, you can use our modding tools, but then you got to put it through like the Bethesda mod store or whatever, and different things like that. So I'm not saying that's exactly what they're going to do, but I'm just like, I think they're going to try to get their piece of the pie. I think they're not going to do anything with it. Like, I mean, I might be eating my words. They were supposed to put DLSS on and do the FOV slider and do all that stuff to quote unquote like add features. It's like those aren't features; those are staple. And I know we already harped on this. I'm not going to like beat a dead horse, but like if that's what they're going to be working on, they're going to do like the bare freaking minimum.
Yeah, I'm not saying Bethesda is going to like.
Well, that's what I mean. Game, so like, do I think that you can put that game on like a top tier thing?
I'm not saying you should put it on a top tier thing. I just think the experience is going to be extremely fun.
Again, I hope you're right. Like the thing that I think you're going to run into though is all these modders are going to be like, okay, I'm going to make this cool experience on a planet. But then what happens? Like the modders have to like start divvying out the 1,000 planets that you have to choose from. Yeah. Who's going to like fly all the way to the other end of a universe to experience X mod. Well, you know?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, there could be randomly generated things.
And there's just a mod that says like travel wherever the heck you want.
Yeah,
and then that's it, and you don't have to like.
Think about the random start mod in like Skyrim. That'd be so cool in Starfield, right? Like you pick a profession, and you're like, they can craft that opening segment for you, and you're like doing your thing. It's like I just think like the role playing possibilities, because that's like one of the funnest things to do in the other games.
Do you think Starfield had a good enough reception for modders to actually care?
Yeah, 100%. There's already a ton of mods.
Yeah, I just haven't seen. I mean, granted,
well, a lot of them are fixing the fucking game.
Well, that's what I mean. The tools aren't out yet. So, yes. Okay. I mean, you're right, and I shouldn't be so down on it.
I will admit it's borderline hot take. Maybe it is a hot take, and super optimistic take from me. But that's in my heart. I believe like it definitely has the potential.
I guess my thing is like between, because I know we were bringing up the No Man's Sky versus Starfield, and we don't have to like rehash it, but I don't think it's, even if Starfield is a great game to play and everything because of like mods, I still don't think that is a fair comparison to say, oh, Starfield's amazing, No Man's Sky is amazing.
Yeah.
That's great. Absolutely. Play both games, enjoy yourself. That's all that matters.
Yeah.
But for one game to be, the devs felt really bad and spent the next decade just churning out free content and completely revamping the game, versus devs being like, all right, well, on to the next project. The modders will take care of the
FOV. Well, we don't know. We don't know yet.
We don't.
Yes, I agree. I agree.
I don't know what you put in that game that suddenly makes it like significantly, like it's not a Cyberpunk, right? Or something like that. Like they're not gonna, you really think Bethesda's gonna go ahead and be like, oh, we found out that this all needs tweaked, or this is like not balanced
and CD Projekt Red needs to be commended for that, because they really did stick with Cyberpunk, and it's now but like, to be fair,
$40 million, that's crazy to fix that.
To be fair, 2.0 should have been how it launched, right?
Yes,
but I'm glad they still stuck with it and didn't just leave it, because it is sick now. Like, the changes that they made, totally worth it. I love the skill trees now. I think it's much more intuitive. Just makes more sense logistically. It's a tree now. It's not like before, it's like these random things. And like,
I wish I went back before the 2.0, because I was playing it and I re-downloaded it for 2.0, and I saw the different things. I'm just like, this is way more. Like it like made more sense to me and 100%. More intuitive, where I remember being very confused, where I didn't mess with anything.
Yeah.
Like any mods,
dude,
anything.
Dude, the old system, there was like a whole tree for crafting, right? So it's like, you want to make good stuff, you got to waste all your points. So now they got rid of that and everyone can craft. And it's like, just, you know, obvious things that just, you know, quality of life things in terms of the mechanics.
How's Age of Salba and...
I even started the DLC. So like, I heard that you want to get through the game, and then before you start the last mission, play the DLC.
Like, do the whole game again.
I don't know yet. I mean, I'm still early enough where I could just, because I have my other character, he's just like max level, and he beat the game. So like, you load in right before the final mission. So
it's like,
just
get your feet wet again.
I could go either way.
Yeah,
I'm not 100% sure. I did start with a new intro this time, the Street Kid one, which I really liked. And my V this time is more like the V in my original playthrough. I tried to play as myself, but I think it's better to play it as a separate character, because my name's not V.
Yeah, sure. It's funny you say that.
It's something like really minute like that, but that takes me out of it so much.
Well, it's funny you say that, because like, I want to play this character as myself. So I started playing it and picking options as I would in real life.
Yeah.
But then as these options pop up, I'm like, I don't want a gun. I don't want to do anything.
Exactly,
like, no,
exactly.
I'm not going to go. Like, so exactly. I'm like, okay, well, this isn't me. Like, I can't play this like myself.
I will say, in like Starfield, I can play that like myself.
Yeah.
Because they don't call me by my name. There's like options that totally make sense. Like peacefully resolving things and like not getting into fights. And like all of the skills I picked for that like made a ton of sense. Like my parents... thing like that was like totally to a T, which I loved. But in this one, it doesn't make sense. It's like I try to project myself onto V, but V's it's his own. He's his own guy, and he's voiced, which is huge.
I love it. Yeah.
So if the character has, it's like a Commander Shepard situation. Like I don't see myself as Commander Shepard. Mm-hmm. Like he's his own dude. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
So it's like kind of like that. Anyways,
I don't like the male voice as much as the female. And maybe it's just because I started with female and that I was just used to that. And that, that's how I think of V. And I think V is a female name, which I understand is silly. But that's just how I did it. Where like
I think they're both good. I haven't played as a female enough to really chime in on that. I do like the male voice, though. I think he's good.
Mm-hmm. He's fine. It's just it seems weird to me. That's all. Like I just don't like my character as much than when I was playing with the girl.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I am. Yeah, I don't know. I've really been enjoying it. I love that game, dude.
Yeah.
That world is just so cool. It's like...
So, I mean, you're going to... I mean, you'll effectively like have a rating then for it, right? Like, are you going to try DLC? To be this year? Like, are you in it? Is that like your current game of choice then after Sea of Stars?
Yeah, that's what I've been playing. But like I said, I got to like decide whether I want to go through the whole game again, which like... Part of me wants to because I love that game.
I mean, it's what, like 40 hours?
Yeah, it's not too bad. But the other part of me is like, dude, I grinded this game so hard that I kind of don't want to do it all again.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see how that goes. I'll probably run into Pan Am and then play it all again anyway. So that's usually how it goes.
She just spurs you along.
Dude, Pan Am's smoking hot, dude.
That's the only reason I want to play a guy is because I didn't experience that whole,
she's so awesome.
That whole section.
Yeah, she's great. She's up there. When you talk about video game companion options, she's up there.
Okay.
100%, dude. Anyways, yeah, so that's good. Anyways, my V this time around is a little more gruff. I went with the street kid background, which is great intro. And it's, like, so good, too, because, like, the dialogue options you get, you, like, know the city. You're, like, from there. So, like, when they're talking about Dexter Deshawn, you're like, oh, I heard he was going through some trouble or, like, this and that, and it's, like... I find that cool. I like being in the know, especially on the second playthrough where like you kind of know how things happen. It makes sense for you to be like, oh, I know this dude or I heard of that job because like
myself,
I've heard of that because I played it before.
Yeah. And it's weird because I keep forgetting that the TV show is this universe, right? So like
the anime.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So, it's
so there's
just
a couple Easter eggs too.
Yeah.
If you go to the bar, there's a David Martinez drink.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So that's the main character in Edgerunners. And
so is that from 2.0 then?
That was in the game originally.
And they just...
Before the anime.
Yeah.
So either they leaked it somehow, like a little foreshadowing, or the TV show used that drink. I don't even know.
But that's so cool. That had to have been deliberate, right? Like that's got to be...
That's so cool, though.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know how the thing is at the, I forget what the bar is called, Afterlife. You know, if you're a legend.
Is it Afterlife?
It's the Afterlife, yeah. I think
why,
so.
Why is that Mass Effect?
Because Afterlife is the VIP section in Omega.
Or is not, that what it's called?
Or is Afterlife either the VIP section or it's just
the, but it's
the
called,
club?
But it's called Afterlife.
In Mass Effect? I think so.
Okay.
Yeah, I think they're both Afterlife.
Okay.
Just a good name for a
bar,
club.
Sure.
I think maybe I'm getting them both wrong. Maybe. I'm pretty sure I'm right though.
Well, we haven't done the research
department
for a while.
So good.
Yeah.
Anyways, that's like the thing. Like if you're a legend, because Jackie gets like his drink named after him.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
And then I'm assuming V is going to get a drink named after him. Maybe.
Yeah. Who knows?
Who knows? I love that game though, dude. Like that, I always talked about this. Like Cyberpunk is like, it checks all my boxes.
Yeah.
For like what I want in a game, dude. It's just like the aesthetic, the environment. Like I love urban environments, cities. I love the grittiness of it where like people are freak shows and they're like, because you know I love like New York City, right?
Yeah.
And I just love the lights, the ads. There's something always going on. People are weird. People are like,
it's weird how much that feels lived in. Compared to like when you're like walking around like a city like what's the Atlantis, like New Atlantis, right?
New Atlantis is like, not good,
right?
It's the worst city in that game, but also just as cities go, it's just not good,
right? But that's what I'm saying. So it's like,
yeah,
doing that is I forget how it's like, this is a, I mean, when did that game come out? That was pre-pandemic, right?
Even Omega on Mass Effect 2.
Right.
Feels way more lived in, and that's like the most linear, like you,
yeah,
it's not even like open at all, but yeah, it's like they put enough set pieces in there where it's like, I completely understand the vibe of this place.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like I, it's, yeah.
It's weird.
It's so weird. Such a weird thing. Just goes to show, it's like open world esque or like bigger doesn't equal better. You know what I mean? Where it's like, yeah, have it be a straight line, but just fill that straight line up with like interesting things and people and
yeah,
random events.
See, I don't, like, you really make me want to play Cyberpunk, but we're coming up on this thing where it's like, we have, what, 3 months left?
Yeah, we're in Q4, almost.
Yeah, I mean, we have October, November, December. And
then, oh, we're in Q4. So, yeah, so,
and it's like tough. Spider-Man's, that's what I'm thinking too,
yeah.
Assassin's Creed just dropped.
Well, I'm not playing Assassin's Creed.
Yeah, but if you're doing Cyberpunk, I feel like I could play Assassin's Creed and kind of get some,
yeah,
like spread our.
The next game is Spider-Man.
Yeah.
I only have two more games on my wish list.
Oh, so many.
Which so is very, like, well, yeah, you go after all the minnows. Yeah,
well, minis.
Spider-Man and
Forza.
Oh, fuck, Forza. Totally forgot about that. That comes out on Tuesday.
Yeah.
Tomorrow.
Yeah. You're not springing for the big boy?
No.
And we'll play it early?
No.
I'll play it, just play a little couple things early.
It gives me a chance to play Cyberpunk.
Okay, yeah. You hate cars. I get it. Continue.
Wow, okay. digest that one for a little bit. Modern Warfare 3. That's the only one, oh, other one I have on my list. So it's like four games. But I still have to play Street Fighter and MK1. MK1?
I don't know if you need to, man.
I have to.
That's a lot of money.
It's a lot of money.
Yeah.
It's a lot of money. I got to play MK1, like, because the story mode, I'll have fun with the story mode. Street Fighter, that's going to be a tough sell, but I really wanted to play it, and I've been talking about it since like it came out in the summer, so it's like, yeah, I feel like I should commit myself to that, but it's a lot. It's a lot.
I don't, man, that is tough.
That's $120 right there.
That is not.
$140?
Neither of those games are recommendations for me.
Really? They're not good?
They're fine if you like fighting games.
It's a fighting game thing.
I just don't think that you are going to get, you're not getting $120 worth. Unless
I
maybe unlock something for you.
The effort that was put into those games, because the like, I feel like fighting games, and like, I'm not a fighting game guy, so maybe I'm totally off base on this, mm-hmm, but I feel like fighting games are in a really great spot for, yeah, the first time in a long time. It seems like,
yeah,
it seems that way. Like Street Fighter was really good, and I don't know anything about fighting games, but I could just tell that like Street Fighter's back, which it hasn't been for a very long time,
and it feels exactly the same as, and I would get crucified by any fighting game person, but it feels exactly like every,
I'm sure it does,
I've
like
played,
to us uneducated heathens.
Yeah,
but
that's
like,
what I mean. I
can just tell based off the reaction of the people who know what they're doing that it's really good,
which is great. But
yeah,
I don't know if,
but
that's,
I want to reward that.
Great for you.
I want to reward it.
Oh,
yeah. I don't know.
Ugh.
We'll see what happens, but there's so many games to play.
Like Dave the Diver.
Yeah, I got to play Dave the Diver. That's on my backlog, too. And all the League of Legends games that I said I was going to play. And it's like,
yeah, how am I playing more League of Legends games than you?
I don't know.
That's weird.
That's really weird.
I don't like that.
I think it's good for you. It's about time you take a share of that.
Sure. Yeah.
You liked it. It was good.
I did. Yeah. I liked all of them. Dredge is coming out with some DLC, so I don't know if I'm going to play that or not. I don't know. I don't know if I can.
Well, RE4 Remake came out with their DLC too, which is rated really highly.
Yeah.
It's like, fuck, do I play that?
Yep.
It has Ada Wong in it, so like, I really wanna.
Yep. Horizon's coming out with
I never played the Forbidden Shore, or
it's the first
Burning
two
Shore
disc thing on PS5. You can get that.
Is it a rehash of the DLC that already came out, or is it different?
No, same thing. You can buy like the complete edition.
Oh, gotcha.
The DLC.
Did it come out on PC yet?
Not yet, but it's coming.
It's coming.
I think it was confirmed that it was coming out.
Yeah, that game was so good.
Yeah.
But I never played the DLC, which is weird.
Cocoon just came out, dropped on Xbox. It's by the people that did Limbo and Inside. It got great reviews.
Yeah.
And then Wargroove 2 just came out. So I'm going to play that, which is, it's like, hey, do you like Advance Wars and Pirates?
You like Advance Wars and Pirates?
Yes, I do. Yeah, so I'm going to play that.
Yeah, so I don't know what I'm going to do. I think I'm going to stick with Cyberpunk this weekend. Forza comes out, going to play that for sure. And then we'll go from there. Yeah, it might be a situation where I just play the DLC because it's just like a time thing. So, yeah, but I do, part of me wants to just go through Cyberpunk again and be like, yeah, this game's awesome.
Yeah, why not? I mean, look.
Because I need to play these other games.
I know, but you're going to enjoy Cyberpunk so much more than you're going to enjoy 100%. Mortal Kombat.
Well, yeah. I do want to play Mortal Kombat, though, because this is a great point to jump into it.
Yeah.
Because I don't need to know all the fucking history. And then
just wait
I'll be
until,
one of the boys.
Like, wait until the season comes out. I'll give you my Steam login, and you just play it, and then you can play the boys and Peacemaker and Omni-Man and all those guys.
Yeah. I'm so bad at fighting games, dude. It's going to be a mess.
Mortal Kombat's fine.
I thought you were saying it was a little tougher than the last one.
I think it's not tougher. Like, in fact, I think it was actually easy. Like, I was crushing things. I didn't, like, drop it to easy or anything. Okay. Like, I was just playing default.
Yeah.
So it's easier than past things, but it's also, like, you don't need to do any of the new stuff in the campaign, which then means that, like, when you go into, like, the real world, so to speak, and, like, fight, like, real people, you get trounced. Because they have, like, their little cameos, like, just in, ready to go.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing.
That's funny.
And I think the board game mode sucks, personally.
That reminds me of Budokai 2, Dragon Ball Z game. It was the same thing. It was a game board, and you had your little pieces, and you'd hop around. That was so weird, bro. That was so weird. But
it's cool. Clumsy. It's clumsy and not well thought out, and it runs at like 30 frames, and I don't understand why.
That is kind of weird. I don't know.
Whatever.
Spider-Man
will be good. Do you hear people are complaining already that Spider-Man's too short? Not even out yet.
Too short?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah,
I thought the last one.
People
was...
are saying it's like you can knock it out in 25 hours.
Perfect.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Perfect. Like, oh, you mean a tight, good game?
Yeah.
How can you complain about Spider-Man being too short because some guy got it early and platinumed it already or something like that?
Yeah.
And people are complaining about that, but meanwhile, this Assassin's Creed game comes out and everyone's saying like, oh, it's a really like pulled back, tight experience. Which like, the more I read about like Assassin's Creed, the more I'm actually excited about it because it's like. Hey, if you went back and played the first game, but it's like a polished first game, I'm like, I really like the first Assassin's Creed. Like, I'm into it. So,
yeah,
we'll see. I like my stealth games, but I don't know why Spider-Man's such a people find anything to be mad about.
Oh yeah, 100% these days, dude. The review bombing that happens these days is just so wild. Like, people need to grow the fuck up, man. It's so crazy. Like, you actually think this game's a zero? Like, a zero is impossible. Like, you shouldn't even be allowed to pick zero.
Diablo comes out on the
17th. Like, even Diablo is not a fucking zero.
No, well...
Or a one, or whatever. They all vote for it to be a one.
It's coming out on Steam. That's a big deal. That it's leaving the... Not leaving the Blizzard store,
but
it's crossing over.
Yeah.
Which, you're talking about review bombing. The last Steam game to do that was Overwatch 2.
Yeah.
And it's the lowest rated game on Steam.
That's what I'm saying. Even Overwatch 2, which is like probably not a great game, isn't that bad.
Yeah, it's not an overwhelmingly negative game.
Yeah, I guess the thing is like it's like a protest. Like it's like a listen to our.
But like, what are you protesting? You're effectively wrecking like
developers'
compensation.
I think it would be the same thing to rate it like a 6. To me, that makes more sense because it's like if you rate Diablo 4 a 6 and everyone starts rating it a 6, it's going to go down, but it's not going to be like a 4 out of 10 game. That's just ridiculous.
That's a great thought where like if you have stuff where it's like overwhelmingly negative and everyone like at some point the review bomb just becomes white noise. But
exactly.
If everyone rates it like this is a mediocre game, it's like it's a 7, it's a 6, whatever. Somehow that's more
that
impactful.
Hits harder
because
that's like a serious opinion, that's like a serious like your game's mediocre.
That's interesting.
Where it's, yeah, exactly what you said. If you review bomb it, they're just going to block it out and be like, oh, these trolls review bombing it. It's, you can't take that seriously. It's not a 1 out of 10.
Yeah. Diablo, so that comes out on the 17th, and it's funny because they're like, oh, we're launching Season 2 just in time for the Steam launch. And it's like, okay, but like, you have to beat the campaign before you can start the season.
Right.
So,
right.
Like, what are you doing? Just teasing everybody, like, hey, look at all this cool content that everyone can play except you, because you got to go through the story. Oh, and guess what? It's going to be harder now because you can't get power leveled by your friends.
Yeah, exactly. It's just like, oh, that's like the worst thing, too. And I know we have destroyed Diablo forever now, but like,
I still like Diablo. I don't know.
The thing is, it's like, I hate when developers, like, there's a fun thing in the game that, like, I don't know, like, it could be an exploit, it could be whatever, and then they take it out deliberately, and it just makes it a worse experience. Like, game-breaking things, I understand. Especially when it's, like, competitive, you're playing against like other people.
Yeah,
sure. Like, yeah, you're destroying, like, other people's experience. But if it's, like, literally, like, a quality of life exploit, quotes,
yeah,
this isn't even an exploit. Like, this is the oldest thing in gaming, where, like, I remember going into like Champions of Norrath, dude, and Nate has his max level character. We go to the like last zone and we just power level so we can get, you know what I mean? Like, this has been a thing forever. And it's like, how does that destroy anyone else's experience of the game? It just makes certain people's experience better.
Right.
I hate that. It's such a stupid decision. Mm-hmm. I hate that.
Maybe they'll change it.
Like, as a developer, what's your thought process there? Like, oh no, we need them to go through the steps to get back up. Like,
yeah, they need.
Yeah.
It's like, well, if we let them power isolate level, like, they could bounce sooner. There's got to be a whiteboard somewhere with a line.
No, I like think these guys have gotten it way wrong.
They definitely
Their whiteboard is off.
There, it is not good.
Like, a lot of the time I agree with you where it's like, okay, there's something they're looking at, you know, based on like the decisions they're making within the game. Like, oh, they cut this content or they shifted focus here. The mechanics are different or whatever. Like, there's some monetary element they're probably looking at. In this situation, which happens sometimes, I think it's just wrong.
I got to see who's doing this one compared to like 3 and stuff. Because it's like, and I was actually talking to some of my contractors are playing Diablo and they like Diablo. And really? Stuff. Yeah.
That's funny.
So it's like, okay, we'll play Season 2. But it's just like, we were talking, it was like they got everything eventually more or less like right in 3. Like, they got to where people were like, this is great. We're going to keep playing this. This is a good loop. This is fun. This is enjoyable. This is, and it's just like Diablo is like, hey, you have this giant open world, right? Like, this is, it's the consistent world. This is what we built. You're running around, you're meeting player, blah, 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 blah. It's this world. And then the entirety of the end game is warp to a dungeon, go into a dungeon. And then you're just in this confined tunnel path. And Diablo 3 was similar, but it was more efficient and quicker, and you didn't have to like, it's just everything in Diablo 4 just seems like it's just long, and it's just like it's a chore compared to like a 3, where a 3 you can knock out like 3-4 dungeons like it's nothing in like 6 minutes, and then just keep watching yourself level up and the numbers keep getting bigger and you get stronger and stronger and stronger. And this one is just like,
I was watching this one video or something, and I forget what it was about, but it was not what it was about, but I forget like what the whole video was about, but they were explaining this concept that game developers use for open worlds.
Yeah. And it's Witcher 3.
I think it was Witcher 3 or something, but it's like, there has to be a certain distance or a certain amount of time before you run into something interesting.
Yeah.
I think it was, maybe it was a Starfield video where they were like pointing out like,
but they were comparing it to Witcher.
Yes.
Yeah. It was CD Projekt Red, I think, who came up with the,
yeah, the rule or whatever. Yeah. And it's called something, and they like kind of like, based on like their market research, they were able to determine like attention spans and like how long before, you know, which is cool. That's really awesome. But that, you have to use that same philosophy in Diablo, not in terms of like exploring things, but you need something interesting to happen in terms of like leveling, or you need to find a piece of gear that's interesting, like a dopamine hit every certain amount of time. And I think their time is way too long, right?
That, yeah,
in 3,
be.
It seemed like it was much more of a quick turnaround to like, oh, I hit my goal here, and now the next
3
thing
is just faster, and the mobs were more denser, and you're just like, you're just more powerful, and that was okay.
Right.
This game, it's like they're afraid if you're too powerful, and it's like,
well,
they're making it.
It's
like
not
a
PvP
chore.
Though. That's, I don't understand.
It can be.
Well, yeah, but
it's not, I have yet to see anyone do anything. It's either you go into that zone and get murked by someone that's like 20 levels higher than you and just one shots you, takes all your stuff, and you're gone.
I knew that was going to be the case.
Yeah.
It's like that's like obviously it's like they've never played an MMO in their life. You literally can't do that.
And I shouldn't even say it takes all your, it literally just takes your like one specific PvP currency that you can only buy like four things with. So it's like, yeah, whatever.
Yeah. I just think, I don't know. And I'm, again, look, I'm not a longtime Diablo player, so
I kind of want you to go back and play 3. And I know you're never going to, but like, I think after playing 4, 3 is just, I think 3 is a better game still. But
well, yeah, I mean, like you said the whole time, the fact that 3 wasn't the starting point, and look, I understand like things have to take a step back, you know, when you're talking about sequels, which maybe I don't really understand, but it seems that's how it kind of goes.
They can redo things. That's fine, but it's just like all the problems that they're like trying to fix in the next season and the next patch and the next this and this and this. It's like, dude, you had years and years and years. Like, you should know by now that like
so much feedback.
Yeah, like pulling, nerfing anything is going to feel bad.
Yeah.
Like, if the numbers go down, you're doing something wrong.
Yeah, the whole point of the game is the numbers go up.
Yep.
You can't go the other way, yeah. It's literally Dragon Ball Z, the game, where it's just power scaling.
I don't know.
But,
I
like, mean, dude, it's we'll like, season two and like we said, it's, if something's too strong, why not raise everything else to that level?
They did, and then they still nerfed you. That's the thing that people are mad about, is they made everyone else stronger and then nerfed you.
Still hit the ban hammer, Oh, well, I mean, I had fun with the game. I still feel comfortable. Like, I understand why people are rating it lower and lower, because like that second level of gameplay after the campaign is such an important experience. And I had fun like pre-season one. Like,
I'm probably playing it tonight.
Really?
I if like Kyle and Gerard are on and like I'll probably.
Well, it's a game where it's like you can just hop on with the boys and like and it's not like super competitive either. So it's like a turn your brain off, just have fun with
the opposite competitive, because it's like everybody has their own loot pool and you're just going through, and if somebody's strong, like, you want them to be strong. I want Kyle to be strong because he can throw me on his back and just carry me to the promised land.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's a great gameplay. That's why people love the series. Yeah. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, we'll see what happens.
We'll see. October 17th.
It's gonna be season 2.
Season. Yeah. It's the vampire season.
I'm not playing that game again.
That's fair.
There would have to be like a big, I don't know. You'd have to convince me.
I'm hoping.
I have it though. I bought the game. It was $70. Definitely.
Yeah.
I don't know if I got $70 out of it. How long the campaign take us?
Buddy, if you didn't get $70 out of that, do not buy Mortal Kombat.
But now I want to buy it just because you told me not to.
Then please do.
All right. Watch me.
Oh, man.
That's a lot of money.
Do you know you could buy Shadow Gambit, Dave the Diver, Dredge, and like
Tyler, I don't
in,
know if
in
I,
story time or storyteller or whatever.
I don't know if I would like those games as much as you. I just think we're different.
We are.
Like, I was watching some Dave the Diver footage just to get a gist of it.
Yeah,
and I'm like, I don't know, man. I just is like, it just seems boring, bro. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know, dude. I don't know. We just like different things.
I know.
We just like different things. I like the big budget.
You're my cousin.
CGI.
You were Justin who give me like the AAA.
Yeah.
Even if it's not a AAA game,
make
it seem like it's a AAA game.
Yeah.
Like Immortals or the.
Look, I have a great respect for these indie games. Like, I just came off of Sea of Stars, which is rated one of the highest games this year by all these critics, and I have thoughts on it, but it's
do you
want
to get into it?
I'm definitely going to get into it, but it's like, I just like Final Fantasy 16 was awesome, bro. I fucking love that game.
Yeah.
It's so good.
Definitely silver.
No, it's a gold. It has to be a gold.
It is a gold. We gave it a gold.
Like, we're going to look back on this. I'm going to look back on this. It's like, dude, it has the greatest cutscenes I've ever seen in video games. Like, Square Enix, what's better? I put that up against Diablo 4.
God of War is better.
Cutscenes?
God of War cutscenes, yeah.
Better?
Yeah.
No. On the same level? Yes.
I can't.
Better?
I can't
no.
follow a lot of Final Fantasy's cutscenes. That's the biggest flaw with yeah. Final Fantasy is there's like, too much going on. You yeah. can't track. Like, I literally can't
My brain understand is, it. Yeah, it's awesome.
There's too many particles.
It's so
Needs
good.
Less particles.
Nah, dude, more particles, man. So cool. It's so cool.
Yeah, Whatever. But like that's the exact same thing. Like you had a like a one-on-one, like, hey, this is a great experience with Final Fantasy, yeah. which is phenomenal.
Yeah.
Just like I did with Dave the Diver or Shadow Gambit or yes. whatever, yes. you know, where it's like that, and that's great.
And that's what it's about.
The thing that, because that was some of the problems when I was looking at a lot of our ratings and stuff, and I'm just like, man, how is like Resident Evil better than Shadow Gambit when like I'm actively thinking about Shadow Gambit? Like, I turn that game yeah. off and I'm still thinking strategy and different things like that.
Resident Evil is so good though, dude.
It is, but now I'm thinking we have to look at it from a genre standpoint. Like, if you're going to compare something, it has to be like genres.
Yeah,
I don't think it can be. Been. Well, it's not how my mind's been working. My mind is like, how did we rate Resident Evil 91 and Shadow Gambit? I gave well, I don't
know. I find it hard to believe that Shadow Gambit's a better game than Resident Evil.
I have much more fun. I think it does more clever things. I think
yeah, but if you're looking at it objectively,
I think they're on the same level. Now, critics don't agree with me.
We'll see what you score it, but like I'm assuming it's going to be in the same tier, which checks.
Definitely in the same tier. Yeah. It's the more I play the game, because I think that I'm like, man, if I keep playing this, is the score going to go down? The score keeps just going up.
Well, that was Dave the Diver for you too.
Yeah. Yeah.
But again, we just like the opposite types of things.
Right, but I guess what I'm saying is you can't... The way I'm looking at that is fundamentally flawed, because you cannot put Resident Evil 4 against Shadow Gambit or Day of the Diver or something like that.
I don't think we do that, though.
I do. In my head, that's my problem.
Yeah.
Whenever I'm looking at them in a spreadsheet format,
yeah, yeah.
and somehow Resident Evil is above Shadow Gambit,
yeah.
but in my heart... I'm like, man, Shadow Gambit is, I love this game. Like,
yeah.
Resident Evil, I will never play again. I played it. I was like, this is a well-made thing. They did what they set out to do. That's a shock that they could get it so right. Good job.
Yeah.
I don't like horror games. So it's the same thing with like Dead Space, where it's like really good.
You like Dead Space, though.
I liked Resident Evil more than Dead Space. I don't. I like Dead
Space. Dead Space 2 is the only game you ever restarted right after you finished.
I like Dead Space 2. That's not Dead Space.
Okay, I mean,
but what I'm saying, but you know what I'm saying is like the
saying you don't like horror games, but like that's
yeah, but like you still have not such a great experience 25 or anything like that.
Got to be up there if you replay the game immediately. No, I've never done that in my life.
Time and place type of thing.
All right,
yeah, I don't know.
But it has to be to a certain quality to get you to do that,
and it is a certain quality. Yeah. But what I'm saying is like my heart says like you had so much more fun with Shadow Gambit. That should be, like, it should be, like, literally, like, in terms of fun and staying with me, it goes, like, Baldur's Gate, Shadow Gambit for me.
Sure.
Like, even above Dave the Diver. Yeah. But I thought Dave the Diver kept introducing new things and was clever and funny and everything, where it's, like, I still have that technically higher than Shadow Gambit, because it's, like, again, different genres, different things. So, like, that's how I'm trying to force my mind to think.
I think it makes sense. Yeah. I mean, like, when we review games... We compare it to other games sometimes, but it's always same genre. So, like, I'm about to talk about Sea of Stars. I'm going to compare it to Octopath because, yeah. like, those are very similar types of games.
That's fair.
So, you know what I mean?
I just need to do better at it. That's my 2024 New Year's resolution.
All right. I'm with you.
Tell me about Shadow of Stars. Or Sea of Stars.
Shadow of the Gambit.
Shadow of the Gambit Stars.
Stars Edition.
That was our... last week's episode title. Sea of Gambits or
something. Sea of Gambits, yeah, yeah, yeah. All right.
I'm going to get coffee. Do you want coffee?
Yeah, I'll take a cup of Joe.
Cup of Joe. All
okay, right. So Sea of Stars, I talked about it last week, and I refrained from rating it, giving it an actual score, because I didn't finish the game. And to be fair, I thought I was closer to the end than I actually was. So when I left off last week, I was probably like 2/3 of the way done. Where I thought I was like 80% of the way done or something. So that was interesting. It actually went on for a lot longer than I thought. So I was like talking last week. I was like, yeah, I can understand why people like this, but I didn't grow up with Chrono Trigger and Mario RPG, which is like the two games everyone's like comparing this to, like a 90s classic RPG.
So real quick, how many hours did you put into it?
I'm at 30.
Okay, so when you thought you were like 80% done, you were only like,
yeah, I was 20
hours
20
in or something, and now you have another 10 on top of that.
Yeah, so I was like, I was 2/3 of the way done.
Okay.
So anyways, so I was like, yeah, maybe it's just like, it's not hitting the nostalgia notes for me. Maybe that's why this is like rated so highly. And it's like a very polished game, like I mentioned. Like, you know, I think the gameplay is really fun, creative. Although like the elements, I guess, I personally thought they were like all new, but like apparently they're not all new. Like other games like did, like the combo stuff was in Chrono Trigger and some of this other stuff. But yeah, I don't know. It just felt... It didn't really grab me. It didn't grab me
right
to like a gold dust.
You know wanted I mean? It. Yeah, you wanted
it. Gold
grab
grabs
it.
You by the face. It's like, I'm a gold.
Kisses
like,
you right on the mouth.
Kisses you on the mouth, dude. Anyways, so this is like a cheek kiss, you know, a little peck on the cheek. So I go home and I boot it up. And like immediately after, dude, I texted Tyler and I was like, fuck. I knew I shouldn't have talked about this because this just got really interesting. So
yeah.
Spoiler mode is going to happen here because I don't think Tyler's ever going to play it. And I just want to talk about it because I don't know if I can dance around it and really, you know, get the impact that I want.
All right. So official spoilers for, like, I mean, the end of Sea of Stars then.
Yeah. All starting right. Now. Can you timestamp this?
Yeah. Hour 16.
Perfect. So I meet the big bad guy or whatever, right?
Yeah.
And... Actually, I should probably back up. So, oh man, I wish we talked about this like the day after I beat it because now I like lost a lot of the things I wanted to say. But anyways, like I go home and I play it and it's interesting. So, you know how, did you get to the part where like there's a narrator in the library like talking about what you guys are doing or whatever? Did you ever get to that?
Wasn't that the intro?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He keeps doing that throughout the story and I'm like, okay, it's like the narrator. Whatever.
Yeah.
You go and meet him and then he becomes part of your party.
Huh.
And I'm like, that's fucking weird.
Yeah.
And he's like this all-powerful guy. And he's like, okay, well, I have to nerf myself because I can't mess with reality too much or something. I was like, all right, whatever. And so he's walking. And then you meet this witch in the woods. And she's giving him like a prophecy. And he's like, oh, shit, what? And I'm like, oh, shit, I thought you were the most powerful guy. So he's not. So I was like, okay, that's kind of interesting. But I wasn't like quite there. I was like, you know, it was tickling me a little bit.
Yeah.
But then... There's like this betrayal that happens with the, and this is a while back, but like the two older moon and sun people betray
like,
you.
Yeah. Oh, what?
Yeah. It's crazy. It's like, I was like, ah, okay, whatever. Like kind of
sure.
Wasn't super shocked by that. I was kind of surprised that the old guy, the elder,
the main dude, like
the bald
guy, the black guy,
he just quits. He's like, after they betray you, he's like, I'm done. I'm hanging it up. And he leaves.
So he doesn't betray you. He's
no.
just, he's so disgusted.
He just quits. Yeah, yeah. He's like, I failed. I quit. I was like, oh, I thought you were going to like rally us. So it's up to these two kids to fucking.
Okay.
By the way, Garl's the goat.
Okay.
Because like, honestly, he carries everyone. The two main characters are kind of like, have no personality.
Garl's your friend, right? With no powers? Or no?
Garl's, with no powers who cooks for you and one eye. He's awesome, though. He's the face of your party. He rallies everyone.
So he doesn't turn into the bad guy?
No.
Good for
him. He's the dude. So, anyways.
Good for him. I thought he was
the bad guy. We get to this point where we meet the big bad guy. And the guy you pick up, the alchemist, knows him. So I'm like, okay, interesting. Wonder what that's all about. Garl dies. Garl fucking dies, bro.
Ugh.
And I kind of got choked up. I was like, I was not expecting.
Yeah.
I was like, dude, I hope he stays dead because I thought they might have pulled some candy bullshit where he comes back. But he does come back. And I was like, oh, fuck. But it's only temporarily. So there's this like, they build it up throughout the game where there's all these prophecies and they're just like saying nonsense to you.
Yeah.
And they're like, you'll know when it comes. And it's like, all right, whatever. And then he tells Garl, some dude tells Garl, like, you know, when the time comes, ask for the potion of borrowed time or something. And he asks for it when he's dying. And then this thing, like, lets him live long enough to, like, succeed his mission. And then he dies. So he gets you to the place where you can get to the bad guy, I guess. I don't know how to explain this. It's, like, really weird.
Yeah.
But essentially... You have to travel through the Sea of Stars. That's the title of the game. They said it.
All right.
To get to where the bad guy is. And it's another world, another universe or something.
Like a parallel thing or just completely different?
A different world.
Okay, so it's not like you're fighting
your bad guys. So it's kind of crazy. So you're doing all this stuff and then you open a wormhole in the ocean. Yeah, so my brain's like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
You go through this wormhole?
It sounds like some Grandia BS where it's like pretty straightforward and then all of a sudden you're
in this
spaceship.
Grandia Act 4, 100%. Like it just went 0 to 1,000.
Okay. All right.
You're going through this wormhole, you're on your pirate ship, and you're going through the wormhole, and now you're in space, and it's doing this thing, and then the screen starts like bugging out and doing all this fucking weird shit, and the game turns like 3D while you're like riding in the...
What?
But yeah. You're riding the ship. The game goes 3D on you. I'm like, what the... My mind was blown at this point.
Yeah.
So I was like, what the fuck? And you get to this other world, it goes back to the 2D. I was like, what if they just made a totally different game?
That'd be sick.
So yeah. I was a little disappointed. But you're in this post-apocalyptic, dark, grim world. And high tech. It's like sci-fi now. Mm-hmm. So you're in this sci-fi place. You're in this building, and everyone's like, "What the fuck is this stuff?" And then the assassin, you know, the chick that I really liked,
yeah,
who's like, she was a pirate, and then she comes out, and she's like the chick who's been creating these portals and stuff. Mm-hmm. She's like an assassin. She has a bandana on the whole time, so you can never see her face. So she comes in, she knows how to like do the computer or something, and they're like, "What the fuck?" And she's like, "I'm sorry, I had to get you to come here." And she pulls down her bandana. She's a cyborg. She traveled from this world to their world because the big bad guys goes around all these worlds and fucks everything up.
Yeah.
So I was like, what? My mind was like blown at this point. I was like, that's kind of crazy.
Well, you kept texting me and you're just like, dude, like what? Yeah.
Well, it was just like this. It is, Grandia is a great example because it was so ridiculous and just like big revelations just kept piling up.
Yeah.
So she's like, yeah, I needed you guys to come save us. Our moon's in the ocean and our sun is disappeared by all these clouds or something. It was wild.
It's like a rockadoodle.
Yeah. So that was a big revelation. So now, and so, cause like I thought we like explored our whole world. So I was like, oh, I'm almost done. But then we go to this other world and now we have a whole nother world to explore. So that's like the last third of the game. So it's like you do that. I don't know. I thought it was pretty clever how they did it. A lot of revelations.
So it stuck the landing then.
Not quite, because we were doing all that stuff, and it's really interesting, and we save their world, and then we go to fight the big bad guy. Like, we go to his palace, but we never get to fight him.
Hmm.
First of all, the alchemist guy we're with, who's, like, supposed to be on our side, gets a memory of, like, how he got his powers, and it was from the big bad guy. But the big bad guy like stole it from someone else or enslaved someone to give him his powers. So he's like, oh man, my friend lied to me the whole time because they were like friends or something back in the day. So then he's like, I gotta go. And he just fucking leaves. Never comes back. Like, okay.
Yeah.
And then we go through his palace. We're beating all his generals. And then we beat the chick, the sun chick from the beginning. She becomes his top general. And so we beat her. And that's it. That's the game. And then the two, the guy and the girl just fly off and they're like, we're gods now. And they just fly off. And we never fight the big bad guy. So it was like, what the fuck? It was really weird.
Is it like setting it up for a sequel?
There's definitely a sequel. There has to be because it's like the end question mark. So there has to be a sequel. So I guess that's what's setting it up. And I also did see that there's like, if you do all this bullshit and 100% it or something, you get like a secret, I guess the true ending. So maybe that's like what you have to do. So I don't know. Which seems like, I don't know. But I will say, I thought it was going to be like super straightforward because like all it was is like, oh, there's this really bad guy and we got to collect these things and get to that. And then it kind of opened up and got kind of crazy.
But it didn't pay off at the end.
The end didn't make a lot of sense, but I still am glad.
You stuck with it.
I stuck with it because that last third was really interesting and... Yeah, I don't know. I enjoyed it quite a bit because I was just like, it was like, you know how I love the plot twists, man.
Yeah, so let me ask you this then, like, because you're going to rate this, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so throughout your gameplay, like from like where we were talking last week about it, are you a higher rating than you were?
Yes. So like, when we were talking about it, I was mid-silver.
Okay.
Like a 82, 83.
Yeah.
Just because I just think it was... Here's one of my biggest gripes with the game. Like, the gameplay is great. I think it's intuitive. I think it's fun. It's a nice spin on like the turn-based system with reactionary elements, which keeps you engaged. I think that's big. The combos are really cool. You can switch party members in and out, which I think is like so vital for turn-based games, because one of my biggest pet peeves with turn-based games is I always like stick to one party.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because it's like, oh, these are my boys, and like, you know, these are the strongest combination. But the fact that like a Final Fantasy X, we can switch them in for a turn, now I'm using everyone, and I like that. I like being able to use everyone. So that's great. So it nails like the technical mechanical elements really well. Mm-hmm. The mechanics of the game are great. I think the story was like fine, pretty straightforward, but like then when you get to the crazy bullshit at the end, much like a Grandia where it's like, oh, I know where this is going, and then we go to the fucking moon.
Right.
Like, I guess some people don't like that. I like that. I just think it's cool. Like, it's very creative and like,
yeah,
was not expecting that. Mm-hmm. Was not like, and like when you think back, it's like, oh, of course this girl who can like summon portals is like from the future or something, right?
Yeah.
Has a portal gun. So it's cool. Like, it's kind of foreshadowed or whatever. So I thought that was good. Like, the story was good. I am happy with the story for the most part. The music was good,
mm-hmm,
but I don't think it was great. And it's no knock on them, but I think when you're talking about like these RPGs, these classic RPGs, like the bar set so high for the musical elements,
yeah,
in the game, like just so many iconic tracks from these types of games, that it's hard to like compete with the big dogs.
I forget, is it like a 16-bit,
yeah,
track type thing? Like, so it's not like full orchestra or whatever.
No, exactly. And
it's like MIDI tune.
And like, yeah, I don't think it's, yeah, I mean, it's not quite that, but there's elements of that, I guess, if that makes sense. Whereas like Octopath Traveler was like orchestra.
Yeah.
Which I preferred. And maybe that's a preference thing, but Octopath soundtrack is actually incredible.
Mm-hmm.
One of the best things about that game. And it's so vital. Like, you think about RPGs, like, I think the soundtrack really makes up for a lot of the other elements in the game. Like, some RPGs can be really grindy, but if you have a great battle track,
right,
it's like kind of makes up for it because you're just like jamming out,
yeah,
while you're grinding. So anyways, the music was solid, I think, but not spectacular. But the thing that really kind of gets me in this game is I noticed, you know how sometimes you're playing a game and you kind of can see behind the curtain a little bit and like, yeah, notice the gameplay loop.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of just, it's very repetitive in a way, and you can just see how it's structured. I don't think that's always a bad thing. Like, in Hades, for example, like, it's very obvious what the loop is, but they do it to perfection, and that's like the point of the game, right?
Yeah, but they still tweak things as you're doing,
yeah,
it, where it's like, yeah, you know what the loop is, you see behind it, but
they pepper things
see
in.
You seeing behind, yeah, it, and this is how we're going to, yeah, change it for you. Yeah.
Like, yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yep.
Like, sometimes I was expecting this boss here, and he's, like, gone.
Yep.
Or, yeah, yeah. So this one's, like, you know, you can kind of see it. Like, the formula for this game is you go to an island.
Mm-hmm.
There's multiple points of interest that you walk through, usually in a linear fashion. And then you go to the zone, fight monsters, couple puzzles, get exposition dump, repeat. And that's pretty much it. Offset by some fishing zones sometimes. So you go fishing.
Ooh,
and
I
then
do like fishing.
Yeah. Fishing's like fine. Yeah. Although it's like a collectathon, so I kind of like that. Yeah.
Get all the fish.
Yeah, yeah, get all the fish.
Kind of like Day of the Diver.
Well, all right. And then there's like towns and stuff. So it's like, I don't know. I felt like that was kind of a knock for me, where it's just like, okay, there's not. And I don't know what you would put in there to like really spice it up, but something. It just seemed really, it was kind of formulaic in that regard a little bit, I think, which isn't a huge knock on it. Like, I don't think that's like every game, every RPG, every game is going to be formulaic to a certain extent. But I just thought maybe just for me personally, I saw it too much, you know, how it was structured. So,
yeah.
Which kind of took me out of it a little bit, because it's like, oh, okay, here's another island here. You know, we're going to go through this. I will,
yeah,
say,
but like Final Fantasy was kind of like that too, though.
I know.
Where it's like, okay, go here. You know that you're going to have to do this, 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 and then you fight the big boss, and then you.
But
go
I
to the
think
next
Final Fantasy is engaged. Like, the story was engaging to me.
Okay,
which makes,
I mean,
up,
yeah,
for,
sure,
it.
Fair enough.
So that's like, but like I said, like when we were going through space, I'm like, okay, I'm in. and I was going to finish it.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, yeah. I don't know how you would get around that. I guess Mass Effect does that a little bit better too.
Yeah,
where like each location is like, it's not a cut and dry. You have a big boss to beat.
But to Mass Effect, like the dialogue's interesting. Like,
yeah.
To me, I always wanted to be done with the mission, go back to the ship. Let's see what the ramifications are. Let's see what everyone thinks. Like, that's fair. The best part to me.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, it might not be apples to apples, but continue. Sorry. Yeah.
No, I was just saying. I mean, that's pretty much my overall thoughts. I think.
So, like, I also think mid silver.
It was mid silver, and I want to just add, like, you know, some of the RPG elements too, like. There's no skill trees or anything. Like, you kind of like learn your skills and you pick them up throughout the game. Each character gets like 5 or so. Well, each character gets 4, and then you get your combo attacks, which are super cool, and then your ultimates.
Mm.
Every character gets 1 ultimate, and like the ultimates are pretty sick. But I think it suffers from like kind of a Final Fantasy 16 thing where it's like, oh, I found a new sword. It's just straight up better. I just equip it. And it's like, there's not a lot of variety there, mm-hmm. right? And the equipment's like, there's not a ton of equipment. Like, you get 2 ring spots, but like, there's not, I found like it was pretty obvious what the optimal setup was. Yeah, so it's like, you know what I mean? So I think that's the slight knock too. Anyways, overall, again, I want to reiterate that I understand why people rate it so highly, but I do stick with what I said originally in terms of like, if I played Chrono Trigger as a kid or Mario RPG, I think I would be where they're at. In like a high gold or a solid gold. But just for me personally, I thought there were just not enough things to really grab me to get to that gold. So I had it at an 85, very high silver, top silver.
Okay.
So that's where I landed.
That's as high as silver as you can get before going into gold. So you think that it's like doesn't cross in that gold territory.
Yeah, I don't know. It's hard for me to describe too, which is not a great defense of my score, but it's just like, it's to me, a gold needs to really hit you in a certain way where you're like, to me, I should just know it's a gold.
Mm-hmm.
I should just know it, you know? And like, I was trying to convince myself it was a gold because other people had it up there. And I'm like, if I'm trying to convince myself into it, it's not there for me. And I think that's okay.
Yeah. You're trying to meet where other people are. And
exactly. Like, And I compare it to Octopath. I gave Octopath an 85 as well because I thought Octopath was just the same kind of thing where it's like, does some things incredibly, but other things are lacking where it's not going to get that gold.
Yeah, and it's not an RPG thing because like, to your point, like Final Fantasy stuck with you. Like that had an impact on you, which is where...
And that's, again, it's like bias, it's personal, but like, that's my honest opinion of it.
That's your review, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, exactly, sure. Exactly. So, having it in 85, I think it just misses gold for me. Solid game overall. Like, the studio, I was kind of reading about those guys, and like they put in a lot of work, and I respect what they're doing, and it was an incredible game.
They were so scared whenever Baldur's Gate came out.
Yeah.
So, good. I mean, good on them for the success.
But, dude, if you played Chrono Trigger, if you played Mario RPG, man, you're gonna fucking love this game because every review I watched, those are the 2 games they mentioned. It's like a love letter to them, but it innovates on it too. It's just a solid experience, I think.
I mean, RPG Maker or not RPG Maker, Mario RPG is coming out.
Yeah, yeah.
So we'll see how that.
So that was, I goes. Guess, yeah, that's the game. This is kind of based off of a little bit.
Yeah.
85. Anyways, that was a little long-winded. I apologize.
No, I mean that's good. Like I'm glad that. It was everything you thought, and then it had a little surprise at the end for you.
No, I really like, you know, my favorite movie of all time is The Departed.
Yep.
And it has that element of just shock factor.
Yep.
But not shock for shock's sake. Like, I never saw this coming, but this
very,
is cool.
It's needed in that story.
Exactly. Like, the elevator, I will never forget watching The Departed the first time, elevator opens, bang. My mouse on the floor.
Yep.
And then he's no like, dialogue, you're with me. It's no just nothing. Me. It's me and you now, buddy. Bang. two in a row.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah.
I just love this plot twist. Love you. You just, they hit you over the head with a mallet.
Yep.
I love it. So that kind of had that same vibe. I wish you went to that world and it was like 3D and it was like a kind of different, like a 3D
platform. There are a couple games that do that. That's pretty cool.
That's like a really interesting concept to me.
Yeah, there's, I forget what it's called, but there was a game where it started out and it was like very, very like 8 pixel, then 16, then 32. Yeah. And eventually it went to like 3D.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I think that was neat. It was very,
find out what game that is.
It was kind of a mind fuck.
Yeah.
Not all the way because it went back to the original style, but I do like how it was very like, oh, this is a different universe.
Yeah.
Gets like the scale of it gets pretty epic.
That's super cool.
The final battle is like a Galaga style thing.
Yeah, I mean, it's got to be. It's an RPG, right? So yeah. Like, you have to be like very.
You're fighting like all these gods and you're in space and you're shooting like Galaga. It's so funny. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Anyways, 85.
Okay. All right.
Solid game. All the props to the studio. They did a great job with it.
Now, see, I feel like I'm going to be too hot on this. I'm not going to like rehash everything I talked about with Shadow Gambit, but I wanted to like get that rating out officially too.
Yeah.
Where sure. If you actually go on there now, it's going to be a 90. I'm actually bringing that back down a little bit. Because I think I'm so excited for this game that I think I'm inflating it probably more than I should. And I'm trying to take a very critical eye on it a little bit.
Yeah.
So the way I judged it is, again, based off of the genre, and they kind of do their own thing. Like, there are other, like, top-down stealth genres, but, like, these guys are, like, I would consider the masters, because, like, Shadow Tactics is really good, Desperado is really good. This is, like, their third game within, like, this type of gameplay, and it's better than both of those. So it's, like, cool. Like, it actually makes me want to go back and play the other ones, but I have a feeling that, like, I'm not going to enjoy it as much because I love the characters so much. I love the setting. I like pirates, but so playing it, and like you said, where it's like you play a game and you're just like, okay, this is just gold, right?
Yeah.
So automatically, like baseline, it's like an 86 for me, right? So it's like, okay, I love this game. I keep thinking about it whenever I stop playing it. Like, I'm going to play other games. Like, it's like, oh, hey, you want to play, like, Diablo or whatever? Yeah, I'll play Diablo. Back of my mind, I'm like, man, I really want to play some Shadow game, you know?
Yeah.
So it's one of those things. So then it's like, okay, I keep moving up where, like, man, the different puzzles, the aha moments of, like, well, if I use this character to do this and this and this and this, and then you pause the game and you tell them to do everything and you hit enter and just watch them all do everything and it's, like, perfect. And you, like, murder a bunch of guards and then it, like, they disappear and I'm just like, man, that's... It's pretty good. I think that's all really good. I think the story's actually interesting. Like, I thought I was going to just blow through the story and, like, I just like to get to the game, right?
Mm.
But, like, the story's really, really good. And all the characters, it's very much Mass Effect in it. Like, after each mission, you can go and you can talk to certain people. Not all the time, everybody, but it's, like, certain dialogue options open up. Or you can do, like, another chapter of a different crew tale and stuff.
Yeah.
And they're dumb. It has not, like, I was talking to you about, like, the sushi fish and the fish becoming a ninja, and now I'm talking to skeletons. I think I was telling you last night where it's like skeletons are very, very depressed, and it's because they don't speak well. So now I'm teaching them poetry and to make them, like, happy and stuff.
Right.
Dumb. But, like, all the characters have all their little quirks, and, like, when you start actually looking at the characters, like, the cannoness loves cannons, obviously, straps cannon to her back. But when you're actually looking at her character, she has a giant hole in her stomach that you just don't notice until she, like, turns to a certain way. But, like, that's how she died. So she just has a giant hole in her stomach. And, like, you know, your main character just has a sword through her chest. And that's how she stays in this reality. And if you take it out, like, she, like, starts shimmering or whatever. And that's how you do her powers. But she has to put it back in her chest before she, like, evaporates from this plane of existence. Like,
yeah.
But you don't know that initially. It's, like, through conversation and through dialogue and stuff, you just learn, like, where were you beforehand? Why are you supernatural now? And they're so good. Like, just all the voice acting, everything is so great.
It reminds me of Pyre in a way.
Very much.
Yeah. Yep. Where it's like, and that's another one where you, like, play the gameplay. It's so fun.
Yep.
That you're like, oh, I'm just going to blow through the story. But then you start talking to your crew.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That and, very, and very much Pyre's gives me Pyre vibes.
It's weird because Pyre's very serious. And this game is serious, and everyone is, like, being very, very serious about it, but everyone's dead. Like, it's just a dead, like, everyone's like ghosts and ghouls and whatever.
Right.
So it's like no one's, like, they're always joking about, like, oh, I'm dead or whatever. It's just a bit, like, it's such a weird thing where they can be very serious and take themselves seriously, but also joke about it, and it just works and fits. And I'm going through all the motions and doing everything. I'm like, okay, I think I'm coming to the end. There's a twist, and then it's just like, oh my gosh. And then it opens up like two whole new islands. Like, there's 10 maps in total, which I don't know if I said that last week. But now I unlock this thing where it's like, there's this like mirror in the captain's quarters, and every crewmate has like this series of missions that you go on. And it basically is like the loyalty mission from Mass Effect. So it's like, okay, I really like this person. You go to the mirror, and I use this, like, it's like this, the blind sniper, and she's like going through this whole thing where like she used to be part of this like church, and then they got kind of weird and betrayed her, did these things. Now she's trying to like cleanse her soul of like guilt and different things like that. But you go through these three missions, and it's like the same board, and it's the same layout of enemies that you've already kind of like solved the puzzle for. So the game forces you to use different characters, which then kind of changes how you have to solve the game. So it's somewhat fresh in that regard. But man, it's like the background of stuff is like cool. Yeah. And it's like, man, yeah. I want to keep doing it. So anyway, I think total I'm giving an 88. So originally it was a 90. I dropped it 2 points because as I'm going through it, I'm like, okay, there's a lot here and a lot of characters, and all the characters have like three maps to each character. And there's like, I think 8 characters, but there's only 10 boards. So it's like there's 24 possible missions over 10 boards. And that's just that. But then you also have the campaign that I'm still finishing, and you have to get like 2 items per. So it's like, you're playing the 10 boards a lot. And now there's a daytime map and a nighttime map, and that changes things. And I haven't run into any like boredom yet, or like, okay, I'm just going through motions because I already solved this. Like, it's been fresh every time. I just don't know how much that will last. So it's like, it's right there. I wish there was just more. And you know what? To be fair, maybe I can progress the campaign and now there's a whole new set of maps. I don't think so. I think there's just 10, but you never know.
Right.
But overall, man, it is a top tier in that genre.
Yeah.
I give it an 88.
No, it sounds, dude, the way you describe it, it sounds like a super fun time, especially for you. Like, it checks a lot of your boxes, and like all of your boxes, stealth, indie game.
The only thing it doesn't have is collectibles.
Collectibles, yeah.
Like, it's like, I guess the collectible point of it is after you beat the campaign.
Yeah.
Now you go back to the maps and it'll give you like, here's 15 special achievements you have to do. Like, don't alert anybody, only use a coin, kill this one guy only who's like in a secured bunker or whatever. Good luck. And then trying to do that and getting each of the achievements for every map.
Yeah.
Something I will probably try to do.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
No, I'm really glad you had a good experience. And I like, yeah, and this is something, you know, I think we've both been thinking about this year. It's like, how much does our personal preference play into the fact that we're rating games, and how objective can we be? And I think there's a mix of it. Like, there's going to be a portion of you that's like, I just really enjoyed this experience, and it's going to inflate your score. But I think we could do a good job of like being fair about the criticisms and stuff. And like, I keep going back to Final Fantasy 16, but I think it's a really good example just for me personally, where it's like, I mean, Jeff was here for that review and you two were like, had a lot of problems with it, which I agreed. Like, I recognize those same problems, but for me, it didn't inhibit my experience as much as you guys did, you know, it did.
Sure.
For you guys.
Yeah.
Like, I still thoroughly enjoyed the game. And like, I guess I forgave it for those things. Like, my philosophy is like, I'd rather a game shoots for the moon and like comes up short in some areas, but like kills other areas, than just like consistent solid across the board, but never gets to like a epic.
Like, plays it safe. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I don't know. I don't know if I always, like, to be fair, like, and that's just my personal opinion. Like, I don't know if I always agree with that. Right. Like, sometimes it's like, if it's like a safe game, but just does everything solid and fine, it's like, sometimes you need that too.
No, look, that's a totally valid, and I understand why people love that. I'm just saying that's my personal kind of.
Yeah,
I've just noticed that when I, you know, like I rank a lot of things.
Yeah,
so it's right. Like you learn a lot about yourself when you start ranking things and critically thinking, like, oh, what do I like? And then you take a step back, and it's like you start noticing these patterns where it's like, oh, these shows that I rank really high have some glaring problems.
Mm-hmm.
But they have really high highs. So it's like, and that kind of has been a pattern I've recognized across the board on like a lot of my favorite things.
I mean, they hit something that you like. I mean, like, it's a perfect example where, like, Sea of Stars, I think it was at an 89, like critically.
It's like an 88. Like, yeah, okay. Yeah, yeah.
But or then maybe you, 89, yeah. You do like an super 85 high. And you drop it 3-4 points or whatever.
Yeah.
And mine is almost opposite where, like, I think Shadow Game, it's around an 85 critic, like last time I checked.
Yeah.
But it's just like that game it connected with me.
Right.
So I'm going to bump it up, you know, a little bit and stuff. And it's just that's how it works.
Yeah. And that's the beauty of like, that's why you watch multiple reviews theoretically, where it's like people have different takes. And that's the beauty of it, right? Like if everyone had the same take,
right,
it'd be really boring. Yeah.
Well, eventually someone it's like, oh, okay, if I'm going to listen to Tyler, it's because I like collectathons and roguelites and indie games and stealth and pirates, you know, like cool. Like,
or it's, I don't like that stuff and let's hear why someone really likes that. Yeah. No, I totally agree. So yeah. And I think we balance each other out too. When it is a game we both play, I think we get to like a really good point. Like I look at our scores, which you can check out on couchco.games.
Yep.
And I think we get to a really good point where it makes a lot of sense to me. Our combined score. Yeah, so cool. I'm glad you like it, dude. That's a great.
Well, likewise. I mean, yeah, I will finish it this weekend, and then I'm hoping. I don't know, man. I guess it's either Cocoon. You could beat in 5 hours, so I might even just knock that out and like tomorrow. But
yeah,
I think Assassin's Creed's gonna be. It's $15. Like I gotta just knock that out.
Do we finish Payday at some point?
I mean, we could do that. Whenever you're free, we can just finish that.
Yeah, because that would take us a couple hours.
Yeah, we should rank
that. A weekday, and then we just beat it, and then we rank it.
Let's do that.
So that's all I had, man.
Yeah, no, that's awesome.
Cool. All right, well, if you made it this far, we appreciate it. Check us out, couchcompany.games. I messed it up earlier. But
what did you say earlier?
Couchco.games.
Oh, yeah, it's Couch Company. And I agreed with you. See, I'm always your hype man.
Couchcompany.games. We have our reviews on there. Totally revamped. Shout out to Tyler. Top fives are on there. Our podcast, obviously. So check us out on there. And, yeah, we're going to be here. Same time, same place next week. Thanks for joining us on the couch. Peace.